You have your Bibles tonight in the book of John, the first chapter. John is baptizing, and he'd done about everything that most of the folks do today. I mean, all them folks had come and confessed their sins, and they'd got all that straightened out and repented what John told them to do and got baptized. There's still something they need. There's something everybody around here needs that don't know what I'm talking about tonight. You better listen to it. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. I want to talk to you about that. There's somebody here tonight that most of you don't even know. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ was standing among them. They had been baptized, like I said. They'd confessed their sins. They'd repented of their sins and probably done everything they knew to do. But there's one thing that they needed, and that was to know Jesus. John the Baptist was there to tell them about Jesus. That is what he was there for. I mean, whatever he done didn't help them. It was Jesus they needed, because he said the next day he saw Jesus coming and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now that, my friend, is not a proper thing today. But I want you to know, if a man knows Jesus tonight, if he knows him. Now, John said there's one standing here you don't even know. Well, John later on said he didn't know him. The whole thing's wrong is that until the Holy Ghost shows you who Jesus is, you're not going to know him. I believe there's a lot of children in this home, a lot of people in the churches all over America that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Ghost has never been there to present Jesus to them. I mean, the Holy Ghost has to be present for you to know Jesus. No matter what you think you know, how many times you've made a profession, how many times you've been baptized, and how many churches you've joined ain't got a thing to do with whether you know Jesus or not. Amen. I mean, you can repent and repent when you're blue in the face, get baptized till every tadpole knows you, serial numbered and all them kind of good things, but God has to show you who Jesus is. One day Jesus said to Peter, when they said, he was asking them, who do you say that I am? Well, some say you're Elias, and some did this and somebody else, and nobody knew who he was for sure. And Peter, the Lord said, Peter, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to tell you right now, if you don't know he's the Son of God, you're going to hell. I mean, just as sure as I'm standing here, I mean, you're a bastard. I read over there in the book of Hebrews, Bible said every son that he receiveth, he chasteneth. But you see, every son that he receiveth, he chasteneth. Now, that's not what these folks are preaching, and I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But you see, they're saying that God's chastening you for sin. No, he said, every son that I receive, I chasten. But he said, whosoever doesn't have any chastisement is bastards and not sons. So Farrakhan and his crowd can't be sons because they don't believe God's a father. They can't be a son of God because they don't believe God's a father. They don't believe that Jesus Christ ever died for their sins. They don't believe that Jesus is a son of God. And if you don't believe that, son, you're far off. You have no idea who Jesus is. But I want to tell you folks here tonight, and I'm talking to Brookside tonight, and I guess this may go out on the air someday if it's good enough, maybe. But if it ain't okay, but if it does, okay, and I don't care where it goes. If you don't know the Holy Ghost has never known or revealed to you who Jesus is, if you've never found out who Jesus is because the Holy Ghost showed you who Jesus is, I mean, you can get all these soul winners, let them run up and down the road, stick a Bible under everybody's nose, and tell you that all you got to do is believe in Jesus. Well, honey, you can't believe in somebody you don't know anything about. You can do all this other stuff, but you got to know him. I mean, you got to know him. You got to know who he is before you can believe anything. Amen. Amen. So I want to tell you right now, son, we got a lot of folk going to hell right out of the churches because they've never been born again. Never been saved by the grace of God. Don't have any idea who Jesus is. Oh, you say, but we got the Spirit at our church. We speak in tongues. Still don't know who Jesus is. Amen. I mean, the Holy Ghost didn't come down here to give tongues. He come down here to reveal Jesus. He come down here to brag on Jesus. He didn't come down here to give you a gift. He come down here to save your soul. Jesus didn't come to give gifts. He come to save sinners. And you're going to hell if you're not saved. You say, I've said the sinner's prayer. They did too. I've repented of my sins. So this outfit. They confess their sins. Every Baptist I know of is doing that about every hour. Catholics do it every week. And the Jews used to do it once a year. But I believe when you confess your sins as a sinner, you get saved. And then you don't have any sins any longer. And that's what they're cussing me all over the country for. Get letters about me up north, down south. Forget it. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. But son, you got to give up a little bit to know Jesus. Oh, Paul, the Apostle Paul, let me read what he said about it. He said, I want to know him. Now, here's a saved man, and he don't even know him. My God, here's a man that's done all the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2. I mean, he said, I want to know him in chapter, where is it? Chapter, Three, excuse me. Got the wrong place. Okay, I was looking on the wrong page. Now, verse 4 of chapter 3 said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. And that's where most of folks have got it. Great God Almighty, you got confidence in the flesh. I don't have any. In mine or yours, either one. Your flesh is mean as hell and so is mine. No, listen, they're talking about that red heifer over yonder. I heard that the other day. I'm sick of that. Honey, that red heifer didn't do nothing but sanctify the flesh for them Jews. They ain't going to do nothing for you. Man, if Jesus can't take care of your flesh, you can forget about it. But Jesus is not, we're not of the flesh. Listen, Paul said, I don't have no confidence in the flesh. And if you've got any, you're hurting, son, you're hurting. If you think your flesh is something, I got news for you. You're nothing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Let me read verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Isn't that good? I mean, I'm rejoicing in Jesus, Paul said. We're circumcised. We're cut loose from the flesh. And red heifers and gooses and the rest of it ain't going to help you. You can get all the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and calves and the rest of it. And you get the blood of Jesus. It still ain't going to do nothing for your flesh. Because your flesh is going back to the dirt. It ain't going to help. I read to this brother today. It's his flesh. We're born of his bone. Of his flesh. And it's his body. And it's his flesh he's looking at. But I want to talk to you about knowing Jesus. That ain't the flesh. You know Jesus in the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the only one can reveal Jesus to you. And you can't get saved in a dead church, I don't care what kind it is, amen, that regrieves the Holy Ghost and quenches the Holy Ghost. And you listen to me, the Bible said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away and grieve not the Spirit whereby you're sealed. Amen. I mean, he said, grieve not the Spirit whereby you're sealed. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath done happen, forgiving you. Amen. Son, I want to tell you right now, you can't tell me that you can know anything about Jesus with all that flesh in your mind. And we're too fleshly minded. Now let me go on and read. Though I also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Paul said, I can trust better than any of you in the flesh. Because I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews and touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, you can't beat that. But listen to what he said. Well, what things were gained to me, all these he thought was something. But one day the law of the commandments came and sin revived. He said he died. He said, I tell you, I found out I was the biggest sinner in town. But he said, this is what I done. What was gained to me, those things I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And here we are, saying, I'll tell you, well, preacher, I've been saved, I've been baptized, and I've gone to church, and I give my tithe. Got nothing to do with it. Here's a man that's give up everything. You won't even give up your rock music, some of you youngins. You won't even give up your TV. You don't give up your dirty books. You don't give up nothing. You wouldn't give up on nothing. You don't want to know him. Then you get up here and bawl around, bell around this altar and say, I know him. You don't know him. If you knew the Jesus I'm preaching about, it'd make you want to serve him, make you want to love him, make you want to give up everything you got for him, make you want to put him first. I'm talking about what I know about this man Jesus. I got saved, I was 15 and a half years old. I give up my country music. I give up all the rest of this junk that I was doing that I knew was wrong. And I kept on giving up everything I thought was wrong because I wanted to know him. Son, I wanted to know what he's like. I want to know that fellow that could come down here and die for my sins. I want to know somebody had love like he had. I mean, you listen to me. We don't know nothing about love. We talk about it and have none of it. Oh, listen, I want to know a man that could forgive me of every sin I ever committed against him. I want to know a man that could come down here and die on a cross for a fellow that helped nail the spikes in his hand. Somebody told me the other day, I wasn't here. I said, let me read it to you. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took your sins as quick as he did the rest of them. He died just as much for you as he did for them Jews. If he didn't, you're not going to heaven. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Oh, listen, John said there's a man standing here you don't know. And son, I doubt if any of us hardly know. Oh, Paul said, I'd give it all up so I could know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. My God, you go around in these churches today, we don't give up nothing. We won't give our comfort up. We ain't going to give nothing up. We won't give nothing up. We're not going to give anything up. We're not going to forgive anybody or do anything else. We're going to keep just like we are, and we ain't going to know him. You say, are we not saved? I don't know. I'd hate to take your chance. Them Israelites, at least they is elected. Them Jews, they had a hope. You don't have. See, as a Gentile, you have no hope. You have no covenant. You have no promise. And you didn't have any God. At least they had all that. But they still needed to know him. Paul had that. And Paul said, I give it all up that I might know him. And the Bible said, and be found in him. Be found in him. Are you sure you're in him? Said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. And I know you say, well, you talking about the flesh? No, I'm talking about the inward man. Amen. I'm talking about that stuff inside of me went out of here when I got saved. Amen. I got up that day a new man. And I, listen, and nobody has to come tell me when I got saved. I know when it was on Thursday morning at 11:45 on this side of the altar. But I've had a lot of folks say, I just can't hardly remember it, but I know I am. Well, if I couldn't remember it, bless God, I'd check up on it. I'd have a little visit to the Lord, and I'd say, Holy Ghost, if you can show me anything, show me Jesus.
Amen.
Now, John the Baptist didn't know who Jesus was. Neither did they know who Jesus was. But John didn't know there's one standing among you.
Amen.
John said there's one around here that you don't know. Now, he's greater than I am, and he's before me. And he said there's one here that you better find out about. And the next day, he pointed him out. He pointed Jesus out and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the world. When John baptized Jesus, the Holy Ghost came on him. And then John found out who he was. Because he said, they told me when the Holy Ghost, the one the Holy Ghost descends on, that'll be him. John said, I wouldn't have known it if it hadn't been for that. Son, you ain't going to find out who Jesus is in some dried up, sealed out church or some little peckerwood running around here with a Bible that's a soul winning that never has found out who Jesus is himself.
Amen.
I mean, it's pathetic, isn't it?
Amen.
Somebody said to me the other day, we'd like to get somebody, we need a youth pastor. I said, great God, that's the last thing you need. If the youngins need anything, they need some old man to talk to them about Jesus, somebody that's been there, somebody that's served him, somebody that's give up everything for him. They don't need some little pack of wood for the money. Somebody said one of these days the church is going to have to pay the government. I said it don't matter because we made a business out of preaching.
Amen.
Not a calling anymore, it's a business. How much would you pay me to pay for your church? I wouldn't pay you a dime. I wouldn't give you a used dip of snuff for a whole year of service.
Amen.
If you're that type.
Amen.
I wouldn't.
Amen.
But listen to what Paul, this is a man of God, man. This is a fellow that went naked and shipwrecked and had all kinds of, oh, but you know, preacher, I'm having it so hard. You ought to have somebody slap you down every time you say that. You ain't never had it hard. You ain't never even went without a meal. I guess upset when I hear about them fellas over here in Bulgaria. Them old preachers walk as far as they can and then they rent them a donkey. They rent them a donkey to take them to their preaching because they're wore out. Most of them don't even have good shoes. They have them old rubber shoes that we used to wear over our shoes. Ricky knows about that. And they ride a donkey. And these preachers, bless God, they got to have a $100,000 check coming in every Saturday, every Sunday, or every $100,000 every year. And they got to have all their house paid for, their expenses all paid, and a good car every year. You ain't worth a saw gold in your bread. Put this on the radio. I'm talking to them out there now. You ain't worth a nickel. I wouldn't shoot you for the tower. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to have my own righteousness. If you ever know Jesus, honey, you got to get rid of yours.
Amen.
You don't know Jesus and your righteousness.
Amen.
When you find out how good he is, you're going to find out you're sorry as hell. If you ever find out how good Jesus is, what he's done for you, he'll make you feel like a dog. And he'll make you feel like you ought to serve him for nothing. Crawl to be able to do it. Great God, these people, if you have to beg all the time to do something for God, go home. Stick your hand in the bucket of water and keep it in there. Don't. For 2 hours, please. Don't whine at me. I mean, here's a fellow that said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. How many in this church, don't hold your hand up, but they ain't a half a dozen of us. I put myself in there. But we want somebody to think we're something. I wish that God would prepare me and let me sometime when ain't nobody around but us, just tell us how sorry and low down.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Sorry. Them old preachers
rode over these hills, preached the gospel, built these churches, and come in with their feet froze to the stirrups in the saddle, had to come and thaw their feet out before they get them off of the horses. We're too sorry to live. God help us. I mean, I come down with the old preacher that the church where he was ordained the other day. He's ordained in 1894, January the 5th, 1800. And I know what I'm talking about, 1894. And he ordained me 50 in 1946. And he was an old man. And I read in a book the other day from Carter County, where about that old man starting Little Milligan Church. And then he started others. Used to have to work. All of them had to work for a living. Now we think, well, somebody ought to pay me to preach. Somebody ought to pay you to get out of town. That's what you need. Amen. You need a ticket one way.
Amen.
To where I can't say in church. But if I could say it, it's got four letters. That's where you need a ticket for. You don't need a ticket to do nothing for Jesus. He don't need you to do nothing for him. Only thing that the preacher ought to do is tell how good he is.
Amen.
How bad we are.
Amen.
You have to beg people to come to church. My heaven to lie. You ought to be the first to hear. When I got saved on Thursday. And Sunday morning, I was sitting on the church house steps waiting to get in. Where's that old man come to open the door? I come up here and told God, I want him to do it again. I didn't know you couldn't get saved once, but Lord, God, it felt so good. I thought, Lord, I'd like to have another dose of that. Oh, God, there's some of these folks in this church sitting right here listening to me, knows nothing about that. Never had no experience like that. God never come around where you was at. You never got under conviction and found out you were going to hell, and the Holy Ghost never said a thing to you. You, that Jesus you know is another Jesus.
Amen.
Bible said we'll have another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel, and we got all of them.
Amen.
Bless God, this Jesus I'm preaching about will keep you out of hell.
Amen.
He'll save you forever.
Amen.
And he'll do such a good job you'll love him forever.
Amen.
Ain't nothing going to stop you. Amen. I don't care what it is. When I was sick back yonder, I had my first two children and living in a house that leaked so bad, we had to get them up in our arms and hold them to keep them from getting wet when it rained. And I took yellow jaundice. I had a nervous breakdown. I got down to 121 pounds. Couldn't walk the length of this church, but I went up on the hill, crawled up there, told God, I said, I surrendered to preach in Germany on the battlefield. And my young'uns both is hungry and my wife's hungry. But God, I'm not going to quit you. I'm not going to quit you. I'm going to stay with you because you stuck with me. And you saved me from hell. And you called me to preach and I'm going to do it. I felt a hand on my head, and I don't believe it if you'd told me, but I believe it. When, you know, it's hard for me to believe it, but I did feel it. I'm still just as plain as it was yesterday. And I heard a voice say, now, I don't believe in that stuff, see. And I don't believe in these other fellas telling it on the radio. They've done it to me. I heard a voice say, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And I got up and run back to the house. Went to the mailbox and pulled out a check for $674. Back pay on my pension. Listen, God didn't do that. I mean, the check was already there waiting for me. But God just confirmed, son, you stick with me and I'll stick with you.
Amen.
I'll have it in the mailbox when you get there to get it.
Amen.
No matter if you're sick, no matter if you're down, no matter if you can't work, no matter if you're young and you're starving, doesn't matter about that. As long as you'll hang in here, son, I'll take care of you. I'll supply all of your needs. This is the Jesus I'm talking about.
Amen.
John said, this man standing with you, you don't know who he is. Paul said, I want to know him. Now, here's a man that's saved, brother. He got saved on the Damascus Road. But he said, I'll give up everything. Take this rock music away from some of these young'uns, and they'll raid hell for a month. And then they'll get it back. Slip around and take the gospel songs and put the rock music on it with a gospel title on it. Son, I'll be sure as I'm standing here, hell's waiting on you to do stuff like that. I don't believe you ever got it. It's not a matter that you don't, you see, you've been deceived by some little screwball that's out for the money. I'm not out for the money, and I'm not out to get your gold either. I'm just out to tell you the truth. Amen. You can't know Jesus till the Holy Ghost points him out to you. Amen. And the Holy Ghost ain't going to be around with a bunch of people that don't want him. Amen. The thing that grieves the Spirit of God is bitterness. Amen. You can have that, brother. If you got bitterness, that'll grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. And the whole world will go to hell. Amen. And I mean, some folks rather have that than to have somebody hear about Jesus in a foreign country. Amen. Now, I'm not interested in your little pouty stuff. Now, I'm not interested in what you think or what you thought or what you're doing. I'm interested in them souls over yonder in Kentucky that need some shoes and clothes. That's a Jesus I want to know. Amen. I want to know the Jesus that'll feed hungry folks. Amen. I want to know the Jesus that'll comfort the down and outs. I want to know the Jesus that'll sit down with a bunch of harlots and drunks and talk to them about how much he loves them and how much he gave for them. Amen. I want to know that Jesus. I'm not interested in this outfit that's sake they're so holy and they got their own righteousness. You can go with it wherever you want to. Amen. But don't bring it around me. It stinks. Amen. All of our righteousness is filthy rag. Paul said, not having my own righteousness. Amen. I don't want mine. Bless God, I want his. Amen. And I praise God, I've got it. I mean, he gave it to me. Amen. I mean, I've got imputed righteousness. I didn't work to get it. I didn't live to get it. I got it because I trusted Jesus one day. The Holy Ghost come by and said, he'll save me. I said, thank God. And I let him. You know what I'm talking about? You know the Jesus I'm preaching about tonight? If you don't know him, you better get up here and try to find out about him. I mean, God's here. You might not recognize it, but the Holy Ghost, same Holy Ghost, it showed John the Baptist who Jesus was. And the same Holy Ghost that showed a lot of other fellas who Jesus is. And the same Holy Ghost that revealed Jesus to Peter. Amen. And he did. Why, he said, Peter, you didn't get this from flesh and blood. Amen. You got this from my Father. Amen. If you ever get saved, honey, it'll be the Holy Ghost sent down from the Father. You don't get it because you got an education. That's a stink in God's nostrils, isn't it? All of your learning and education without the Holy Ghost that tells you that Jesus died for your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.